Please be seated. In the 4th century, there was great interest in the Holy Land sites associated with the earthly life and ministry, with the death and resurrection of Jesus. It appears that information about these sites have been passed down through the generations, keeping alive the tradition. And then in the 4th century, informed by this tradition, a building project began, building churches on these traditional sites in Jerusalem. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre was built where tradition said Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose from the dead. And on September 14th in the year 335, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre was dedicated. And that day became Holy Cross Day. It was added to the Church's calendar. We keep it to this day, so many centuries later. In our calendar, there are 2 days dedicated to the cross. Of course, Good Friday and also Holy Cross Day. And while they both commemorate the cross, they have different emphases. Good Friday, the focus really is on the passion of Jesus, his terrible suffering and death on the cross, the evil actions of humanity that place him there. But on Holy Cross Day, we focus less on the passion of Jesus and more on the cross itself, how an awful instrument of capital punishment that was used by the Roman Empire to kill insurrectionists, how that instrument becomes the means of our salvation. We focus on the victory that Jesus wins on the cross for us, how the cross is the means that we are set free to love as God loves, set free from the power of sin and evil, set free from the power of death itself. And so as followers of Jesus, the cross is central for us. And we hear this in our collect for Holy Cross Day, which we just prayed. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, was lifted high upon the cross that he might draw the whole world to himself, mercifully grant that we who glory in the mystery of our redemption may have grace to take up our cross and follow him. We are to have grace to take up our cross and follow him. The collect makes clear that following Jesus requires that we too take up the cross. It's not entirely something that may be immediately appealing. It's hard. It's difficult. And it certainly is costly. To take up our cross means to relinquish our will to God's will. It is the call to offer ourselves in loving service, just as Jesus does, to in love care for all people, especially the least, the marginalized, the forgotten. Through the cross, then, Jesus draws us to himself and lifts us above the sin, the brokenness of this world. Through the cross, Jesus gathers us with him, and we are able to share in his victory won on the cross. Now, you might wonder why we're keeping Holy Cross Day. I know several of you in arriving said, oh, it's red today. Why is that? Well, as a church dedicated to Jesus, our Redeemer, we celebrate Holy Cross Day as what's in church talk known as our Feast of Title. It's a fancy way to say we're dedicated to Jesus, our Redeemer. It's like a parish dedicated to a saint who on the saint's feast day remembers that saint and celebrates that saint. We affectionately call our celebration Redeemer Day. And it is a time for us to give thanks. To give thanks for the many blessings God bestows upon this parish in such generous and innumerable ways. To give thanks that God has called us all to be here, to be part of this community. to be grateful for the mission, the ministry that God has entrusted to us, and to look with anticipation to where God is leading us, how God is calling us to act in the coming days and years. I think this is also an important day to remember our past, to tell the stories of our founding, of our history, to give thanks for the faithfulness, the courage, the vision of those who went before us in this parish, to remember with grateful hearts our ancestors in the faith. From our parish history, we know the story of our founding and the early years of this parish, and it all begins at St. John's Church, which eventually becomes our cathedral. And by the mid-19th century, St. John's was overcrowded, and they wondered, can we add more balconies? Can we build an addition? They couldn't see a way through to make more room. And so because of this, a group of Episcopalians in the northern part of Providence began to wonder, was it time for a new parish? And early in 1859, two or three ladies gathered for weekly prayer. And in their prayer, they asked if God was calling for a new church in this northern part of Providence. After they prayed through the year, they discerned that God was indeed calling for a new church. And here we are. In 1859, the Church of the Redeemer was founded. Our first church building was on North Main Street, where University Heights is now. And we did something radical when we were founded. In that era, churches supported themselves financially with pew rent. You wouldn't walk in and sit like you did this morning. You'd have to pay for that pew. And there's great concern in the parish that not everyone could necessarily afford to pay for a pew. And so this parish took the radical step to be the church parish, the first church founded in the state of any denomination, which did not charge pew rent, so that anyone, no matter their means, could attend. I think about that and think how that reflects this parish's deep and ongoing commitment to welcome, to inclusion, to making sure people can join this community. After it was founded, the parish continued to grow and flourish. The Sunday school thrived. A parish house was built and was full of activity. But North Main Street was changing. It was becoming more like we know it today, more commercial, more industrial. And there was this brand new neighborhood up the hill on Hope Street, and parishioners were moving there. And so in 1909, at the 50th anniversary service, 50th anniversary of the founding of the parish, the bishop at the time, the Right Reverend William McVicar, who was the sixth bishop of Rhode Island, said in his address, and I quote, "The Church of the Redeemer must be moved. If the rector and the members of this parish decide to move, I promise to raise the first $1,000 towards the expense of such action. And I promise furthermore to raise that amount within a week." Unquote. Yes, within a week. The large congregation at that service applauded. There was unanimous approval of this idea and of the bishop's proposal. And I just want to observe that Bishop McVicar's support was significant. His promise of $1,000 today would be worth more than $34,000. It was a sizable gift. But more than that, the bishop displayed a keen vision, an understanding of present context, of how the city was changing, and he provided strong leadership, encouraging the parish to take a bold risk, to up and move, to embrace a new reality. And so on May 1st, 1917, ground was broken for this church. The cornerstone was laid July 1st, and Easter Day 1918, the first service was held in this church. The baptistry, where the baptismal font is, was dedicated to Bishop McVicar for his leadership, for his vision, for his support. When I think about our parish story, it reminds me of all sorts of things like bold action, pick up, move, try something new. But I think the overwhelming sense I have from our history is the importance of prayer. St. John's on North Main Street is overcrowded. What do? So some women come together to pray. We don't know who they were. We don't know their names. But we do know they were faithful in prayer. We know that they were patient. They gathered throughout the year to pray. And we know that through prayer, they discerned God's call. Prayer is still central to who we are as a parish. Prayer is central to being a follower of Jesus. I think what has changed is we have a different question. At least at the moment, we're not asking the question, do we need to move? But we have questions. We have questions for our own time. And our questions are different from those faithful women of prayer, but I think we can pay attention to their example and take time in prayer to discern God's call. I think about this moment, I give great thanks to God that we persevered through those years of disruption of pandemic. It's not as critical now, though still parishioners even this day have COVID. It's still with us. But things have improved. We're back here in the church on this Redeemer Day. But there are challenges because things have changed. Our parish is different than it was, certainly than we were in 2019. And also our society is in flux. Things are changing. There is upheaval. But we don't fully understand yet where we are headed. What is going to come out of this? The future is not clear. But I think what is clear and what is certain is that even in these times, God is at work. Just as surely as God was working in the lives of those faithful women back in 1859, so God is at work now. God calls us also to act boldly, just as God called those folks in 1859. God is leading us in this uncertain time. And it is our charge then to listen, to pay close attention, to see where God is at work, to look for what God is doing, and to discern God's call to us through prayer. And so as we celebrate this Redeemer Day in these challenging times, I invite you to remember God is at work. And all things are in God's hands. And I invite you to remember those women of prayer and emulate them. For us to commit to regular prayer, discerning God's will for us now in this time. To join in praying so that we can hear and understand God's call to us. To set aside regular times of quiet. To be in God's presence and to listen for God's voice. May we as a community commit to prayerful discernment, asking where God is leading us now, what God is calling us to undertake, where God would have us go. What is certain is that God, just as God did back at the beginning of this parish's life, so in today's time, God invites us into holy work, to partner with God in building God's reign in this place, to be agents of God's love. And so let us be attentive by careful and intentional prayer and listening, by watching, by waiting, so that we hear God's call. For we stand upon the strong foundation that was laid by our ancestors in this parish. And now is our turn to hear God's call and to embrace God's will for us now. Through the power of his victorious cross, Jesus promises us that he will gather us, will gather all people in his loving embrace. That through the cross, Jesus will lift us above the trials of this world. So let us be faithful that we hear his voice and we follow where he leads, just as those who came before us in this parish faithfully did. Amen.